Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Would it surprise you to hear that employers are being encouraged to support employees because they are struggling financially? How easy would it be for you to ask your boss for help because of your debts? To talk about this and some recent research into debt and work is Jonathan Watts-Lay, who is the founding director of an organisation, Wealth at Work, and he's on the line now. Good evening, Jonathan.
Hi, Clive.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Jonathan, first of all, tell me about Wealth at Work and what you actually do.
Yeah, so we're an organisation that goes into other organisations. We're invited in by employers basically to speak to their employees about financial matters. So that could be anything from pensions through to maybe financial benefits that the that employer offers to their to their staff. You won't be surprised to hear that sort of increasingly things like debt and how to manage debt.
Yeah, I can imagine. What sort of stories are you hearing from people's employees?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag, really, because clearly depending on the type of organisation and clearly depending on the individual and their personal situation, things can be different. But the research that we've just done in advance of Debt Awareness Week, which is next week, did throw up some pretty interesting figures, and some which were higher than maybe I'd anticipated, because I think there's a view that maybe things are gradually kind of easing off because we've seen wage inflation go above CPI recently. So theoretically, that means that things should be getting a little bit easier. But that hasn't really filtered through yet. So the research showed that one in five people are saying that they're still taking on more debt. It was also quite surprising to see that a third of people said that they're suffering from mental exhaustion because of their worries over their finances.
I think it's the one big thing that we worry about very easily in life, isn't it? Because it affects all of us and you can't escape it. But you've carried out some research into workers struggling to make ends meet. What did you learn from that and what are you doing with the data that you garnered?
Yeah, so from the data, I mean, it's very clear that people are still struggling. And I mean, I think that's not surprising when you think that a lot of people, they will be renewing their mortgages. And so they're likely to see an increase and actually quite a fairly big increase in their monthly repayments. We know rents are going up as well. So we know there's some pretty big expenditures that people have that are still going up. And I think the interesting thing with this is that it's actually impacting the work that they're doing. So some of the interesting data that came out was things such as 26% of people said that they know their financial worries are impacting their work performance. One in five said that they feel as though they've got a reduced focus and they can't concentrate when they're in the workplace as much as they did, again, because of financial worries. So I guess one of the key things that's coming out of this is that, clearly it's not good for the individual, for the employee, but actually it's not good for the employer either, because, clearly they do not want a workforce where that workforce or a percentage of that workforce are actually saying proactively, yeah, I know my performance is impacted. I know that I'm not concentrating as much as I should. And we do also know that absenteeism is also going up as a result of those financial worries. So not good for the individual, but not good for the employer either.
Now, we're talking about this because Debt Awareness Week is round the corner. When is that and what happens during that week?
Yeah, so that's next week. And the whole idea is that people become more aware of not only debts that clearly people have and what they could or should do about it, but also trying to build awareness around how to avoid getting into some of that debt in the first place. We often discuss it in terms of good debt and bad debt. So a good debt would be something like a mortgage, because very few people could go out and just buy a house with cash. So most people will need to have a mortgage, which of course is debt, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. As long as they, they're searching around for the best rates when they're renewing, etc. But then bad debt can be things like credit card debt, which can have a very high interest rate. Things like buy now, pay later. Things like payday loans, where actually those interest rates are often considerably higher. And actually, if you're not repaying them, they can spiral out of control very, very quickly.
An economist once said to me, debt isn't a bad thing, but bad debt is. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, exactly. I think people often need a certain amount of debt at certain points in time, mortgage being the obvious one, I guess. But yeah, sure, people put things on credit cards because they need to get a new washing machine or whatever it might be. But it's making sure that you can manage that debt and you can manage the repayments. If you can't manage those repayments, then that's when you start having problems. And I think that ties in with something else that came out in the research, which is people's concerns about not having savings. So actually, when you have a financial shock, even though it might be, relatively speaking, quite a minor financial shock, you've got to replace the washing machine or the boiler breaks down or whatever it might be, actually people do not have readily available cash to deal with that, so they're more likely therefore to take on debt. So not in itself a bad thing, but a bad thing if actually you can't make this repayment.
But there still seems to be a stigma around debt which stops people talking about it. I think we have a tendency to bury our head in the sand, but it's something that we should talk about, hence Debt Awareness Week. But why do you think that stigma exists?
Yeah, I think it's a very British thing, isn't it? We don't like talking about money, and we like talking about debt even less. So I think that is part of the British psyche, really. I think also, one of the things that we're trying to highlight is that a lot of employers are trying to help with these issues. A lot of employers are creating well-being plans and programs within their organizations where companies like us, companies like Wealth & Work will go in and help deliver those programs to the employees. But there needs to be a lot of communication, because equally employees don't necessarily feel very comfortable talking to what they see as their employer about their about debt problems, because they think it may have other implications to do with their jobs. So on one hand, employers are stepping up in a lot of cases and putting these programs in place, but it's just giving the employees the confidence to say, yeah, I'm gonna put my hand up and try and get help.
But as you've just said, around 9% of workers, or fewer than 9% of workers I should say, would seek help from an employer. And I think, I don't have an employer, so I'm not in that position. But if I did, would I go and ask them for help if I needed to? No, because I think I'd be embarrassed. I would also be of the opinion that I wouldn't want help from anybody else. I can sort this myself. So how do you overcome that when you go out and talk to employees in organisations to encourage them to seek help where appropriate?
Yeah, so clearly the confidentiality thing is key. But in terms of employees becoming aware of what's available in the first place, it is really creating that communication internally. And some of it can be quite subtle. It could be around, we can help you broadly with your finances, we can help you understand your taxation, we can help you understand what you get paid and the deductions, we can help talk to you about debt, and then setting up things like helplines. So the employer doesn't actually need to know on a named basis who's calling that helpline and indeed what they're asking about. So it's just creating that communication bridge, really, between the employer and the employee, so the employee feels comfortable enough to say, yeah, actually, I'm going to make an appointment to talk to these people. Because, of course, they're not talking to their actual employer. The employer is outsourcing it to organisations like us. So there is that confidentiality.
What about people who ask for financial help from employers? And as you've said earlier on, you know, employers are having wealth packages and things like that for their employees. But, you know, if you work for a small gift shop, which is an independent business, it's highly unlikely they're going to have, you know, assets that they can help their staff with, you know, for want of a better example, a payday loan, if you like. So, you know, I don't think I'd want to insult the employer by asking them.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. So for organisations that, just simply wouldn't be putting these sort of programmes in place, then...
But I wouldn't want to give them the indignity of saying no.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I think it's really important that awareness, and again, this is part of Fed Awareness Week, that awareness is built up for individuals to know where they can go. So if the employer isn't really an option, then where else can they go? So actually, a good place to start is to actually look at the government site and search on Dead Advice, because they actually give a list of organisations that can potentially help the individual. So that ranges from everything from Citizens Advice Bureau. There's actually a national debt helpline that people can phone. There's a charity, for example, called Step Change, who will give free debt advice. And in fact, there's many more on that list if people go and look at it. So there is help out there. So if the employer really isn't an option, then there are these other options that people can gain access to.
Who supports businesses then in a case like this, and what kind of support can they get?
Yeah, so normally, certainly when we're going into businesses, we're looking at issues that they may already be aware of. When pay rises haven't been keeping pace with inflation, a lot of organisations have said, look, you know, we simply can't meet the inflationary rises, but what else can we do for employees that may help them? So some of them will put other things in place. So, for example, things like discount vouchers, so, you know, get 5% off your weekly shop. Others will say, well, actually, can you provide support and top tips as to things that people can do so that maybe they can manage their budgets better? So some of the simple things that people can do that may actually just get them through the week or the month is just looking at where their expenditure is going. So things like subscriptions, for example, a lot of people signed up to subscriptions during COVID for all sorts of things. I mean, the usual things like music downloads and film and publications. And actually, often when we look at those things, people are still paying those subscriptions, but they've forgotten about them, so they're not actually using the service. Sometimes they've even doubled up on them, so, you know, they would be paying twice for fundamentally the same sort of thing. So it's getting people to actually look at where is their money going and are the things that you're not actually using or you don't actually need. Also, bigger ticket items. So most people will have mobile phone contracts or broadband contracts, or they will have insurances, so car insurance or house and contents insurance. And yet a lot of people still do not shop around. And yet we've got so many examples where people can save literally hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and they're still getting the same level of service. They're still getting the same sort of cover for their insurances. It's just that they're shopping around. And for a lot of people, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds can clearly, even though that might be over a year, that can clearly make quite a difference. So it's just getting people, making people aware of those things and things that they can go and do.
How many people, though, admitted to taking on another job to help them financially? Because you hear of this, don't you, where, you know, it's quite common there are people that have, you know, 2-3 jobs maybe. But how many people admitted to that?
Yeah, so there was a number who within the research who said yeah they had taken on jobs. There was another group, actually quite a big percentage, 26% of people said that actually they were doing far more overtime than they had done before. So we do know the whole notion of taking an extra job doing overtime, actually having a sort of side hustle, a personal side hustle where they're generating a little bit of income. All those things have, you know, not insignificant numbers. So again, it shows that people are being quite resourceful in terms of saying, right, well, you know, one of the ways maybe I can get through this is just literally getting more money, because if I can't get the pay rise I need from my main employer, what else can I do to generate some income?
For anybody who is struggling financially, what guidance do you have for them, and what advice would you give them?
Yeah, so I think it's degrees of, really. So I think if people are you know, struggling a bit, but they don't feel things are getting out of hand, it is that thing about review your monthly budget, look at where you're spending. Do you need to spend all the money that you're spending? You know, going back to the whole idea of subscriptions and people overpaying on broadband and all that kind of stuff. Have a look at what your employer offers, because again, won't apply to everyone, but certainly people that work for the bigger employers, often they will have a range of benefits that they offer, which could actually help people. I mean, we know a lot of employers that we work with where, for example, they give really quite hefty discounts through retailers, offer things like computers. So, you know, if you need to buy a new computer or laptop, maybe for a child, actually some significant discounts that they can get. So I think there's those sorts of things that people should look at. If people are a bit further down the road of believing, though, that that is getting out of control, again, depends on the degree of it. But let's say somebody who's got, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 credit cards, clearly high interest rates, they're not being able to repay them, then again, for some people, they may be able to consolidate that debt into a single credit card. They may be able to get an interest-free period of 6 months or 9 months, and then they can go from there in terms of maybe getting a better interest rate when they start paying again. You know, the credit card market is actually a very competitive marketplace, so there is often opportunity for people to do those sorts of things. I think also looking at things, you know, buy now and pay later, which of course is credit at the end of the day, and again, often has a very high interest rate with it. You know, think about, do you actually really need those things? Very easy to kind of walk into a store and go, great, you know, I can have that now, but do you really need it? And then I think people that are at the point where things are really getting out of control, you know, it's almost like the bailiffs are going to be at the door if I don't do something pretty quickly. That's where I think they do need to go and get much more formal support. So I mentioned earlier charities like Step Change. I mean, they can really help individuals understand the individual's personal situation, but then help them in terms of how they could restructure some of that debt so it becomes manageable.
It's important, though, as well, that I think to act before the wheels come off. If you think the nuts are coming loose, that's the time to act. Don't leave it till the wheel comes off, because then that's when you've got a bigger compounded problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is part of Debt Awareness Week, really, is to saying to people, look, you know, you might not have a serious debt problem, but if you're kind of feeling, you know, things are tight, you know, you haven't quite got enough money to last the month or to the next payday, then, you know, That is the time to start looking at this stuff and thinking, well, what can I do? And also, you know, the other side of the coin as well, and clearly this is hard for a lot of people right now, but it is this point about creating a savings buffer for a rainy day. Mm-hmm. So that you know, if you do save a little bit, then actually to have a few months worth of savings, should anything, you know, at worst, you know, you lose your job. But actually for things like, you know, the car breaks down or the boiler blows up or whatever, that you don't actually have to go and get debt in order to do that. Because that's often when things can spiral without people even realizing, you know, it's kind of the whole notion of like, well, my car's broken down. If I can't afford to fix the car, then I can't get to work. And if I can't get to work, then I can't earn money. And, you know, before you know where you are, you know, that does start spiraling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you can amass savings, it's important to save it wisely. And if you're not sure how to do that, again, as you've just said, get professional advice.
Yeah, you know, and things like, you know, simple savings accounts. You know, there's so many savings accounts out there, and so many accounts that will actually pay, actually relatively speaking, quite good interest at the moment, even if you're only paying in small amounts. But again, go in and searching through those, and there's loads of comparison sites that people can go on to look at their savings rates. I mean, they move all the time, they move daily. Compare it, if you like, the lowest paying to the highest paying is almost chalk and cheese. You know, there's often massive differences. So again, it's another thing, you know, look and try and find out what the best deal is out there for you.
I mean, it can appear daunting, but it isn't. There is help available, as you've said. There's plenty of information online on the government's website, as you've said, and there are lots of other professional organisations out there that can help. Where can we get more information from Wealth at Work, Jonathan?
Yeah, so if you go to wealthatwork.co.uk, then we do have information on there, so you will be able to see the research. So anyone who's interested in looking at the research, or maybe employers out there thinking maybe I should be doing something more for my staff, then go to our website, have a look at the research. There'll be some other stuff on there as well that might be of interest. I think the other one, in addition to some of the sites I've mentioned as well, another government site is Money Helper. So Money Helper is quite good because actually they have things like budgeting tools, so you can just go online and put your numbers in, as it were, and they have hints and tips. So again, as a general kind of money site, that's actually quite useful.
And as we were saying, you know, don't leave it till it all goes wrong. If you think there's a problem, nip it in the bud if possible.
Absolutely.
Jonathan Watts-Leigh, Founding Director of Wealth at Work, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 6:00 p.m. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by me, Clive Payne, and produced by Andy Caddick.